Welcome to the Commands of Christ podcast, brought to you by the Home Discipleship Network. We're excited about guiding people to the Word of God to experience the abundant life and to be encouraged as they walk as disciples of Jesus, all through the power of Christ living in us. And now, your hosts, Gabe Cleeter and Nate Payne.
Told his disciples, he said in Matthew chapter 26, in verse 41, he says, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And Nate, even though this was a command he was giving directly to the three disciples there, there's so much application for our lives as believers today, that one of the things that God wants for us as believers is that we would watch and pray, that we would be spiritually alert, that we would be awake, that we wouldn't allow spiritual sleepiness to overcome us, but we would be awake, we would be alert, and we would be seeking his face in prayer. And so I think as we dig into this, one of the things that we're going to see is so important is that even in this episode, as we consider how does this apply to us, we're going to see there is a lot of application to our lives, because this command is so needed in our day, where there can be such a spiritual lethargy, the lethargicness that can overtake our lives if we aren't watching and we aren't praying and seeking his face. But as we rely on Christ, as we look into him in dependence, he can enable us to keep our gaze fixed on him, to stay spiritually alert, and to seek him in prayer. And I feel like in some ways, Nate, there's a defensive and offensive aspect to this command. There's the defensive aspect of where he says, "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation." In other words, as we watch, there's this guardedness, there's this watchfulness, there's not making provision for the flesh, there's this awareness of walking in an above reproach way. So there's this defensive aspect to it. It's almost like the watch is the defensive aspect to it. Then the pray is the offensive
aspect. It's not just defensive.
It's actually offensive.
Offensive, yes.
That prayer is the way that we engage in the spiritual battle that we're in as believers. And we stand and rest in the victory and authority of Jesus Christ. And we engage in the spiritual battle through prayer. So watch and pray. I think it has a defensive aspect and an offensive aspect both together.
Mm-hmm. And like you said, Gabe, in this episode, we like to talk about how does this command relate to us. And it's amazing that as we do talk about each command, there are so many aspects that relate to us, really, in many ways. It all relates to us because it's living, right? God's word is living. But it's real, a lot of fun to be able to pick out specific points and aspects and elements of each command that that we can see as relevant to our current everyday lives. And that's what we want to do in this episode. So the first thing I want to touch on, Gabe, is with this command, that Jesus says, "Watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit is truly willing, but the flesh is weak." One of the things we need to understand as it relates to us is the weakness and the frailty of our human flesh. We see this clearly with Peter, James, and John. They were tired. They probably had a full day. And you know, I really can't in some ways blame them, because I could just see just the weariness, the tiredness, and they fall asleep. But Gabe, as you and I know, with just having read the context of all this, this was not the time to fall asleep. This was a very big turning point or a pinnacle in Christ's ministry. In many ways, there was a lot hinging on this moment in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Christ had picked three of the disciples that were pretty close to him to be with him during this hour of prayer, of this hour of watching. And so going back to my main point of like first point here of how does this relate to us, understand our human weakness. I think in Christendom, it's easy to feel like, oh, well, I'm above temptation, or I'm above faltering, or yeah, I'm good. I read my Bible, or I go to church, but yet we're not really aware that our flesh is weak. You know, Jesus specifically says that our flesh is weak. It says, Jesus said, "The spirit is truly willing, but our flesh is weak." It's interesting to note, to actually see this in 1 Corinthians 10:11-13, he speaking of the children of Israel, Paul talks about how they were, how we are to learn from them as examples so that we don't fall into the same temptations. I'm going to read this because this has direct application. It says, now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There is no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Gabe, not only do we need to be aware of that we're weak in our own human flesh and that we need the Lord, but we also need the Lord, that we need to understand that the answer to temptation is not our own strength. It's the power of the Holy Spirit living within us. And I think that's critical. Another passage that kind of reveals the weakness and the vulnerability that we have in our human flesh is in James 1:13-15. It says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away with his own lusts and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Gabe, it's that humility that really it takes to say, I'm not above temptation. I need to watch and pray. Because without the Spirit's enablement, I'm going to fall when I'm tested.
And that, I think, really strikes at the root of how God wants us to walk in total, complete dependence upon him. Mm-hmm. Jesus said in John 15, apart from me, you can do nothing, right?
Yeah.
So we are totally dependent upon him. We are reliant on Christ and not ourselves. And the recognition of our own weakness, the weakness of our flesh, should drive us to a place of greater dependence on the Jesus Christ.
Yes.
You know, Neil Anderson said, we're talking about temptation. Neil Anderson said, the essence of temptation is the invitation to live life independently from God.
Wow.
So in other words, one of the major things that the way that Satan tempts us or tests us is to try to get us to act independently from God, for us to act out in the flesh, for us to walk in our own strength. And so as we recognize our weakness and our inability, we tend to actually not like to see our weakness. We tend to not like to see our inability because we want to think we're strong. But actually recognizing our weakness is such a good thing if we will press to the strong one in it.
That's right. Because naturally, Gabe, when I see my weakness, it's like the first thought is, well, try harder, work harder, you know, try to find in my own self a solution. But no, it's actually that would drive us to Jesus Christ.
Yes. Yeah. That it's not try harder, it's depend more on Jesus,
right?
That it's press into him harder, press into him more, rely more on him. And so then it would come to, well, okay, well, if apart from him, we can do nothing and we need to walk totally dependent on him. Practically speaking, how do you walk in total dependence on Jesus? Well, the practical outworking of a total dependence on Christ is taking everything to him in prayer. Prayer is the practical expression of dependence.
That's good.
Because it's that acknowledging that I need him. That watching, that praying is that acknowledging my flesh is weak. I am weak, but he's strong. And so the prayer is the acknowledging that I need him. There was a quote that I heard. Somebody said, all of our failures are prayer failures. In other words, that it's like ultimately at the root of our failure is a failure to seek the Lord in prayer, because the reality is, because he says, watch and pray lest ye enter into temptation. Because as we watch and pray, we stay in close fellowship with the Lord, and he keeps us from sin, right? And so to watch and to pray is to stay aware of our dependence on Jesus, to walk in that fellowship and communion with him, and then he keeps us from falling. He keeps us from sin. Mm-hmm. He is our way of escape. Our Lord Jesus Christ is, as you read earlier. I also think we need to beware of spiritual sleepiness. So we need to recognize our total dependence on Christ. We need to press in to him in prayer, relying on him. But I also think we need to be careful that we don't allow spiritual sleepiness to overtake us. It's interesting because you see in the scriptures, you'll see that sometimes scripture speaks of when someone dies, it would speak of them falling asleep. And just realizing spiritual sleepiness can mean a deadness in our life spiritually. And there can be different aspects to it. I think a spiritual sleepiness can be shown in a neglecting of the Word of God, just becoming lazy in our personal devotions. And when we fail there, we fail everywhere.
Yeah, it's because really, that's the foundation.
If we get out of the Word and we get away from prayer, then our hearts start to drift away from the Lord, and we become susceptible to temptation. Somebody said once, "If you're not drawing near, you're drifting away." Mm-hmm. There's no static in the Christian life. We need to keep relying on Christ and pressing close to Him. If we start finding ourselves more of a desire for things of the world than the things of God, I'll just say this, Nate, that I think one of the huge things that can cause this spiritual sleepiness is an overconsumption of media and entertainment. In many ways, the entertainment can actually dull us spiritually if we're not careful, especially if it's entertainment that doesn't exalt biblical values or doesn't put forth an idea of a picture of life that's accurate according to the Word of God. It can cause an incredible spiritual dullness because it's just scrolling to the next video and the next video and the next video on YouTube or Instagram and the next short and the next video and the next video and the next video. Pretty soon an hour's gone by and 2 hours has gone by. And just, I think one of the things that has almost put a stupor sometimes on our generation has been just an overconsumption of media that has caused a spiritual sleepiness. And it's like this command, as I said before, is like a splash of cold water in our face. So it's like watch and pray.
That's right.
And sometimes we got to set the phone down. We got to turn the screen off, and we need to seek the face of Jesus.
Right.
That we need to be aware. Leonard Ravenhill said, "Entertainment is the devil's substitute for joy." And sometimes we turn to these other things, entertainment and different things, and we can give them too high of a place in our life. And the Lord wants to press into Him, to put Him first, to watch and pray, to not allow the spiritual dullness in our life. Scripture says in Ephesians chapter 5, 13 through 17, it says, "But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See, then ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." And obviously, when someone's first born again of the Spirit of God, when we're first saved, we pass from death to life. Like, we were dead in our trespasses and sins, and we're made alive in Christ. But even as believers, even as those who've been made alive, we can still allow areas of spiritual deadness in our life, and we need to, or spiritual sleepiness. And I believe God is calling us as His people to awake out of that sleepiness, that He wants us to redeem the time, because the days are evil. Mm-hmm. And just to realize, to walk circumspect, not walking as fools, redeeming the time for the days that we're living in. I think this is part of kind of the core aspect of watch and pray, is it's redeeming the time. It's walking with spiritual alertness. It's seeking the Lord in prayer. And this is, the Lord desires this for us.
That's good, Gabe. And I think another element here to application that we could address too is that if Satan can't destroy us as Christians, I think he really aims at making us spiritually, or desiring to make us spiritually, fruitless and lethargic, kind of like what you're talking about. And it's interesting that Jesus is saying, he's giving this command to his disciples, knowing that his betrayer is on the way, right? Is right outside the door in some ways. You know, he is going to be betrayed. He is going to be taken. And the disciples have no clue about this. And that's the danger of becoming lethargic. One of the dangers of becoming lethargic and sleepy as Christians, we all of a sudden start to lose an awareness of the enemy, what the enemy is going to do. We know our enemy is Satan, and he goes around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. The enemy only comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And so I think we need to be very aware that one of Satan's tactics is, if he cannot destroy us, he really wants to make us spiritually fruitless or lethargic. So maybe a question that we could be asking ourselves are, like you're saying, Am I lethargic towards the things of God, towards my time with the Lord, towards desiring spiritual things? Do I have a hunger for the Lord? Is there a fire burning in my heart for God? Am I aware of the temptations and the tactics of the enemy? Psalm 42:1, David expresses a hunger and a fervency, a vibrancy of his desire for God when he said, "As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God." And just, you know, we really need to realize that as Christians, part of a vibrant walk with the Lord is this alertness. It's this awakeness, and it's this desire for a relationship.
Yeah, and the scripture says Satan doesn't come to, but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I'm come that I might have life.
Life, and life abundantly, yes.
Yeah, and life more abundantly. And so just to see that it's like Satan he'll try to destroy us, but if he's not able to destroy us, then he will try to distract us often.
Yes.
And so he'll try to bring destruction in different areas of our life, and if he's unsuccessful in that, sometimes he'll just try to distract us. You know, sometimes obviously we know he goes about trying to devour us, but he also tries to divide us. He tries to get us in divided focus. Sometimes that lethargy and that distraction can come through overconsumption of media. Like I mentioned, there's a lot of different ways Satan can try to bring it. Another aspect of it can just come through the busyness of life, is that if I allow the busyness of life to crowd out watching and praying and depending upon God and seeking his face, you know, Corrie Ten Boom said, if the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. And so just to recognize, like, Satan does go about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We are living in perilous times. And this isn't a thing of walking in fear. It's just walking, a thing of walking in an awareness and alertness. Obviously, we know our position is secure in Christ. Ultimately, Satan can't destroy us because of our position in him. But he will try to distract us. He will try to divide us. He will try to hinder us. He will try to work destruction in different areas of our life. And that's where we need to cast ourselves in total reliance on Christ, because we need to recognize that, yes, we have a very real enemy, but we can't also lose sight that we have a very real victor as well.
Hallelujah.
And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And scripture says that at the cross, Jesus Christ made open display of the principalities, powers, triumphing over them. So we can live and walk in the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, as we close out here, I think it's important to just consider, and maybe this is a really good point to consider here, is first of all, recognizing that Christ has won the victory, that that Christ overcame Satan at the cross, and that as believers, we stand and rest in the victory and authority of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And it's from a place of resting in the victory of Christ that we watch and pray and live out our Christian life. But I want us just to consider, as we consider how this command watch and pray applies to us, I want you to consider in your own life, have the busyness of life, has it distracted you? Has it crowded out your time with God? Or maybe it's entertainment. Maybe you're recognizing that you've had a lot more screen time than Bible time. Or maybe it's a recognition that the scrolling from video to video to video has brought a spiritual numbness. I just want to encourage you, as we come to a close of this episode, you know, I really feel that the, you know, we talked about the sleepiness or the lethargy being like a deadness spiritually. And if you sense a deadness in your own life spiritually, what is needed is revival. You know, that revival is life again. It's this refreshment from the Spirit of God. And it starts with repentance, though. It's that recognizing that even as believers, we can have areas of our life where we've gotten busy and distracted and caught up in the things of the world. And I would just encourage you, when this episode's closed, you may need to get on your knees before the Lord and just say, Lord, would you forgive me for allowing the busy things of life and the entertainment of the world to distract me and hinder me from watching and praying? And then ask him to light a fresh fire in your heart. Remember, he said he would that we were hot or cold, but the lukewarm, he says he spews out of his mouth. So he takes this very seriously. He wants a fresh fire burning in our heart. And then just pray, Lord, kindle that fire in my heart. Forgive me for giving up what I want most for what I wanted in the moment, and help me to live my life in light of eternity. Help me to watch and pray. And as we do that, I believe God will work in a mighty and powerful way as we watch and pray. God bless you, and we look forward to you joining us on our next episode as we look into some of these practical ways that we can live out this command through Christ's empowerment to walk in Christ.
Thank you for joining us on this journey through the commands of Christ, brought to you by the Home Discipleship Network. If you would like to go deeper in this month's focus, head over to homediscipleshipnetwork.org, where you can download a free study guide to accompany each command. And if today is your first time with us, please subscribe on your favorite podcast platform, so you will be able to join us each week as we explore the commands of Christ together. That's it for today, and we'll be back with more next week.